trying to keep Pacific salmon in Lake Michigan. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. 50 years ago, officials put Pacific salmon into the Great Lakes to eat an invasive fish called the alewife, and a huge sport fishery was born. These days, you can still catch both coho and Chinook salmon. Chinook salmon can get big, 20 or 30 pounds. People call them kings.
On a scale of 1 to 10, catching a king is 10.
That's Dennis Eade. He's the executive director of the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association.
I think sport fishing in the Great Lakes is really dependent on a premier sport fish to draw anglers to the sport. So we've got to protect the king salmon fishery at all costs.
But Chinook love to eat alewives, and the alewife population in Lake Michigan isn't doing well. So there's less for the Chinook salmon to eat. A group made up of tribes and the states that border Lake Michigan wants to put fewer baby salmon in the lake. Jay Wesley is with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources.
And we're looking at reducing Chinook salmon from about 1.8 million in Lake Michigan to about 690,000, which is about a 62% reduction for the lake.
They're trying to keep the salmon population from crashing. That happened in Lake Huron more than a decade ago.
For most folks, we don't want to end up like Lake Huron, where the Chinook fishery collapsed altogether.
Captain Denny Grenold is with the Michigan Charter Boat Association.
There's a lot of charter operations and a lot of recreational fishing. Fishermen have moved their operations or their fishing excursions over to Lake Michigan as a result of that drop-off.
He says some fishermen don't like the idea of putting fewer salmon in the lake, but he says most understand something has to be done. This is the Environment Report. Scientists have found that turtles can tell us about pollution in wetlands. A team at the University of Notre Dame found 8 different heavy metals in painted and snapping turtles in Michigan wetlands. Gary Lamberti is a professor of biological sciences at the university, and he joins me now. In some cases, you found that turtles can be indicators of the amount of contamination in the soil in the wetlands where they live.
That's correct, Rebecca. It wasn't perfect, and it wasn't for every metal, but in general, if the wetland had higher concentrations of metals in the sediments, then the turtles themselves showed higher, what we call, body burdens of those metals in their tissues.
And how would that be useful?
Well, it's useful because we often don't know the degree of contamination of our wetlands. It's difficult to sample wetlands. The sediments, you have to extract the metals from them. And the organisms really are kind of the ultimate barometer of kind of the canary in the mine shaft for the metals that are in the environment, because if these metals relocate themselves to the food web, then certain organisms that are high in the food web will show these metals because they tend to accumulate them over time, and we call that process bioaccumulation.
How sensitive are turtles to heavy metal pollution?
Well, there's not much literature on that, as it turns out. Most of the literature we have are from sea turtles, and so there's not a whole lot of literature about the freshwater turtles. And we found this sort of serendipitously in the process of sampling fish. We actually, some of these turtles ended up in our nets, and we wondered about that. The students involved in the project were wondered about the concentrations in these turtles. And so ours are some of the newest data and among the few data that exist on these concentrations of metals.
Gary Lamberti is a professor of biological sciences at the University of Notre Dame. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.